Hello, everybody. My name is Mount, and this is Mount's Gadget Talk for Monday, 2nd of November, 2020. Guys, it's November. Finally, 2020 is about to end. It's 30, 40 more days and the year has ended. Phew. Thank God this year is over, finally. It's November. Black Friday, White Friday is in town. 11/11 is going to happen if you live in some parts of the world where they still do it. Okay, cool. And obviously, by the time you get out to listening it the next day, it's already the election. It's already election day in the U.S. So if you haven't gone and voted, just hit pause on it and go vote. Mail in that ballot that you have, or obviously, just go and vote. Yes, your vote literally may matter decisively. But aside from the election in the U.S. and from our G's in the U.K., guys, just stay at home and don't try to go out for unnecessary stuff. I mean, if you really want to go out, just go out to get your, to get some groceries and stuff. I don't know what you call it. Get your, hop to shops to get some, you know, supplies. But aside from that, guys, just stay safe and stay home. Home my G's in the UK. Or you'll have to wait till December. Sorry, I mean, the cases went up, so, oh well. But we're not here to talk about coronavirus or things happening around us on the planet. We're here to talk about technology because technology is what gets us excited. If this year has shown us anything, we've all got bored, but tech has really made 2020 a little interesting. We've got new iPhones, we've got new OnePluses, Samsungs. This year has been also been good in that regard, even though we've had to stay at home and Zoom has become an essential tool like WhatsApp or Gmail or YouTube. We kind of use it to some degree, no matter whether you like it or not. Oh, well. So, we talked a lot about Apple doing an event to unveil its Apple Silicon Max. Oh, well, they confirmed already, no surprises, a third fall event. This time on next week, next Tuesday, same time, same place, same stream, pretty much. And it's called One More Thing. And it shows the Apple logo kind of glowing out, sort of. Basically, all we know is simply one thing and one thing only. Apple Silicon Mac. A14-based MacBook. I don't believe in gambling, but, you know, like, I bet that they're going to have a MacBook. Hands down. Now, I don't know if they're going to call it the A-series chip, or they're going to actually call it an Apple Silicon chip. I hope they have a name for the Mac. Maybe M7, M5. I hope they have some cool name, cool acronym to call their desktop CPUs that. So, they're probably going to reveal all new Apple Silicon Macs. Which ones exactly? Part of me thinks that it'll probably be able to talk, it'll show off a MacBook running Apple Silicon because MacBooks sell like bananas. iMacs don't get that much traction, so that's wonderful if you think about it. So, I mean, that's what I'm expecting. And aside from that, probably the AirPods Studio, AirTags, the Apple TV, probably a new Apple TV. Stuff that we didn't get in the last two Apple events. Kind of expected at this point. I hope they have, they really do have new Apple Silicon Macs, which is would be kind of awesome. And this is a good time, really. The iPhone 12 mini and 12 Pro Max will be out soon. The HomePod mini will finally be out. Apple One is already out, launched, which is kind of freaking awesome. And then, more interestingly enough, Apple TV, I mean, that's growing, obviously. An Apple TV service, pretty much the app, is becoming available on more and more services. So, basically, one could essentially access more and more, could access Apple TV Plus or the service, really, on more devices, the more the better. And that leads us to the second story after this. Really, the Apple event was great. I mean, can't freaking wait. The other is really about the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox One, the Xbox Series X and S, both the new Xboxes and the new PlayStations. They're coming out this month. That's more exciting news. Aside from Black Friday, there is a new PlayStation and Xbox consoles that are launching. Now, we've already heard about PlayStation 5 a lot. Unboxings have happened. We get to see a review of the actual console itself. What games exactly we're going to see coming out? All we know is that Cyberpunk 2077 will be coming out next month instead of this month now, which is interesting to say the least. But more so, the PS5, I mean, tying this to Apple, really, the Apple TV app will finally be coming to the PS, PlayStation and Xbox consoles this month, with Xbox especially, and this is something that, and also They're also stating that day one, you'll have access to a whole wealth of streaming services. So, from November 10th, that's when the Xbox Series S and X will be coming out worldwide. You'll be able to get Netflix, Disney Plus, HBO Max, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube TV, Amazon Prime Video, Hulu, Peacock, Vudu, Twitch, and much, much more on November 10th. And for my G's in the UK, you're all in lockdown. Unless you're going to get your Xbox at the doorstep, though, contactless, so you get your Now TV and Sky Go will be available. So if you for all my G's, you could start streaming stuff on your Xbox the day it pretty much is at your doorstep. But more greater is, more cooler is that the Apple TV app will finally be available on the Xbox consoles completely when it launches on when the new Xbox is launched on November 10th. And you could do a lot on it. You can use Apple TV Plus. You can rent movies and shows. Okay, you can rent and buy movies and shows. You can access subscriptional services like Showtime and CBS All Access, which technically will be soon called Paramount Plus. And you'll all watch it from that one app, which is kind of cool. It's kind of cool that that Apple is bringing it on other entertainment devices. So you don't really need to have an Apple TV to access. You don't really need to have an Apple TV to access all these services. I mean, which is kind of cool, to say the least. But yeah, I mean, I think this time around, okay, and you can say that the console generation of now will be more aggressive than ever, because really compared to last time, it was kind of more, it was easily PlayStation 1 that generation, and it was very obvious from the get-go, and no matter how much Xbox tried, it didn't succeed with the Xbox One. It was quite clunky and expensive, and the PlayStation easily edged out by being the cheaper console. This time, though, it's quite aggressive. Microsoft has sharpened up its senses, really, and have really watched the market carefully, and have kind of, I've understood that the market is quite aggressive for these devices, and so they have gotten pretty aggressive and sharp, and so they have, they're over such a competitive range of products now, so, so great times ahead, really. So kind of cool the Apple TV app is will be available on the Xbox console, so it'll be a way to watch Apple TV Plus on something other than the Apple TV, so that's pretty cool, in my own opinion, frankly speaking. But man, we gotta talk about two different smartphones, and they've released two different brands. OnePlus and Samsung have released special editions of their phones. One is OnePlus, in collaboration with CD Projekt Red, the super famous Polish studio that made games like The Witcher. They have teamed up with OnePlus to create a special limited edition Cyberpunk 2077 edition OnePlus 8. And it looks freaking dope, straight from the future. But boy, just have a look at these. Look at the back, though. Pretty big bulge. A pretty big sort of camera bezel right there. Without a doubt. Like, you notice that it's quite massive. And it has this futuristic design, and it's got kind of layout. I mean, it's straight from the future. It's got that aesthetic, and it has neon yellow around the sides, so pretty cool touch. So essentially, it's a special limited edition OnePlus 8. Obviously, to celebrate the launch of Cyberpunk 2077. Obviously, in the box you get the OnePlus 8T. What do we have here? Hang on. You get a case, you get a manual, stickers, and you get some custom software bit doodads. OnePlus and gaming have become kind of related ever since OnePlus has gone all in with the OnePlus 7, you know, with bringing in Fortnite into the equation and apparently, the Cyberpunk edition OnePlus 8 has a special filter and give you that funky punk cyberpunk effect, like the game sort of. And it's called Night City in Northern California. And the picture looks pretty dope. It's like you've taken it straight from the game, even though it isn't. So, pretty cool limited edition, good for gamers and stuff. It'll be available in China. It's only available in China, so I don't know if Cyberpunk 2077 will be out in China, but hopefully. It'll go on pre-sale on November 4th, so that's in 2 days' time. This is this Wednesday, pretty much, by next episode, and you're able to buy it on November 11, 11/11. So, yeah, if you haven't gotten yourself around to buying OnePlus 18 now, you probably should, because it just looks freaking dope. And you actually get a 65-watt charger in the box, so pretty dope. I mean, and you get the same specs, pretty much. And it costs $597. That's in China, unfortunately. So, I mean, I like that they OnePlus does limited editions. It's not like they skimp it for budgetary reasons, like reasons, you know. They've done limited editions for the Avengers and for Star Wars, so it's quite popular. But more so, moving past, Samsung of all players, mind you, has made this really cool limited edition Aston Martin Z Fold 2. This is China only, sadly. God, is it me or China pretty much gets all limited edition phones? Oh well. So they're selling this limited edition Z Fold 2 Aston Martin Racing Edition. If you're in Formula One, you know what that team is. Pretty cool. So you get a regular. So essentially, you pay 20,999 yuan. So that's 3,000 bucks, pretty much. You get a regular Z Fold 2, and then you get a Galaxy Watch 3, a limited edition T-shirt and cap. Not bad for the price. Especially a nice leather case. A little card showing like you bought one of these limited edition phones. Congratulations. But it's kind of expensive. You pay a little more money for a kind of special phone with Aston Martin written on it. So, I mean, but you get a Z Fold 2 that has 12 gigabytes of RAM and 512 gigabytes of storage. So it is really, really expensive limited edition. This is typical Samsung. They make limited edition of bundles of their for their phones. But I probably recommend ones where you get the Galaxy Buds with it, along with the watch and stuff. You get a good value for money in that regard. You pay a lot of money, but it's just kind of glamorous. It's not China only, sadly. Apparently, they're only going to sell 7,777 of these, so they're pretty limited. So, if you do live in China, I don't know if anyone listens to my podcast in China. I mean, but if you're able to go there and buy something, then probably you should do it. It doesn't say how many is remaining in stock, but it just says you had this limited edition. You get this limited edition bundle. I think it's 700 of them. Kind of interesting. Samsung still sells in China. Not like it shouldn't, but it could. But it's kind of cool. So yeah, I mean, limited edition's awesome, man. I'm just saying. All right. So moving on. We will talk about devices. Devices. And devices, lots of new gear launching because it's that part of the year, that time of the year. It's no longer Techtober, it's Techwember. Is that a term? Oh, let me know. So first, we'll probably talk about an all-new Vivo phone. Now, we've all heard about the Vivo V20, which is a kind of a good phone for the money. I mean, you get some good stuff. You get 33 watt fast charging, Snapdragon 720G. It kind of came out a little later in the year, so I mean, it's kind of good for those who want to get a phone with a name on it at the back. But then also bought a slightly cheaper version of the V20, the V20 SE. Probably not nodding for the iPhone SE, but oh well. The V20 SE is sort of this slightly cheaper version of the V20. Simply, it comes with a 6.44 inch Full HD Plus AMOLED display with a 32 megapixel teardrop selfie camera. Snapdragon 665 processor, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 120 gigabytes of storage, 128 gigabytes of storage. Hope I don't get that wrong. And with for the cameras, it may look a little like the Mi 10T, but well, you get 48 megapixel back camera, f/1.8 aperture, 8 megapixel ultra wide shooter with 120 degree field of view. And then you get 2 megapixel macro and depth shots. Yes, macro sensors are a little useless. Don't ask me why. They just don't help, really. I mean, ultra-wide sensors change the game if you look at the iPhone, pretty much. Anyways, so you get 33 watt fast charging, and that charges up a 4,100 mAh battery, and runs FunTouch OS 11, which is running Android 10 technically. So this is launching. The V20 SE is launching in India, and it's going to cost 21,000 rupees, 21K over there. And you get the basic 128 gigabyte variant only. It's a lot of money for a 665, 282 bucks. That's a lot of money. There are a lot of other options. Obviously, people look at other brands, especially with if it's with this much fast charging, a Snapdragon 665 and a 48 megapixel camera, they're probably going to first look at other options. I mean, this would be successful on offline sales in India, because Vivo kind of thrives offline. You know, people, I mean, it looks nice. And so if you go to a phone mom and pop phone shop, you have a look at this, and then they tell you the camera and stuff, you're like, wow, pretty good. All right, work, all right, get, I mean, take my cash. So as I said, if you're buying it at a shop or you're looking at it, you'll probably be impressed and you'd probably go like, shut up and take my money. I was in a Futurama meme. But obviously if you look at it online, then probably a bit of a deal, probably a horrible deal to start with. You'll probably get other high-speed phones for a little more money. I mean, obviously add a 1,000 more, then you get better options at this price. You're probably able to buy a Realme 7 Pro at this price, mind you. But I don't know how you feel about Realme, but you'll probably get better options online. So, I mean, if you think of buying this and you're going to get it off Amazon or Flipkart, then do some more research. You'll probably get some better options at this price. So, pretty good, to say the least. Moving past in our sort of gadget showcase, Raspberry Pi Foundation has come out with a really cool device sort of for beginners and for those first timers and for those folks who want to try out the Raspberry Pi but haven't got themselves around to getting a little board to play around with. Now you can get a really cool kind of product, the Raspberry Pi 400. This has been inspired by the Amigas and the Commodores of the 80s, and essentially, apparently this is inspired, Raspberry Pi obviously has been inspired by those British home computers like the Commodore, which really brought computing to so many homes and obviously made games very popular and really kick-started the computing revolution in Britain. But now we have the Raspberry Pi, and they released this really cool kit. You have the Raspberry Pi 4 already, and it's popped right into the case. It's integrated with the keyboard, and obviously all your ports are still accessible from the back. Obviously they're reported. I don't know how it looks on the inside. It's probably the Raspberry Pi 4 as is with a keyboard on top, and obviously they probably integrated the keyboard. Or probably they lose a USB port for that. Yeah, there's one less USB port, a USB A port on the Raspberry Pi 400. So this means that they've used that USB port for the keyboard. So if you pop open, you probably get one less USB port. So it's all rerouted from the looks of it. I've seen something like this similarly online. I don't remember the name of the case. It came from China and it costed just as much as this or a little more or a little less, but you had the chassis only. And it was basically the Raspberry Pi 4 on one side underneath the keyboard, and on the other side it was a trackpad. So you had like a whole sort of mouse and keyboard combo that had the Raspberry Pi 4. The Raspberry Pi 4 itself is the most powerful Raspberry Pi ever, really. It's so fast. You can run Android on it now. You can run a lot of operating systems straight out. You can do emulation like a boss. And you can run PS2 games on this. I mean, I haven't thought much about the Raspberry Pi scene since I first heard about it years ago. But, I mean, it's gotten a whole lot more powerful. And, you know, you can, safe to say, given the RAM you're getting in the Raspberry Pi 4, you can now use it as an actual computer. In fact, they kind of references that the Raspberry Pi 4, which we launched in June last year, is roughly 40 times as powerful as the original Raspberry Pi, and offers an experience that is indistinguishable from a legacy PC for the majority of users. Particularly since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, we've seen a rapid increase in the use of Raspberry Pi 4 for home working and studying. And obviously, I've seen videos online where people have been able to install Zoom right on the Raspberry Pi. Yes, it kind of runs Linux. They even built their own OS, fortunately enough, which is still based off Linux, but it's a solid, well-rounded OS, and it can do web browsing, all casual computing tasks. I can connect to cloud services without a problem through the web browser. A solid computer. You can run Zoom on it, obviously through additional programs and coding. And you can run ad blocking servers. You can do lots of features, and it literally is just the Raspberry Pi in a keyboard chassis, which is crazy. So, and you get all this for 70. dollars, 70 USD. And you get the Raspberry Pi 400, which has the Pi built in and the chassis. It's all together in one piece. And then you have a USB mouse, a USB-C power supply, an SD card with the OS, and a micro HDMI to HDMI cable, and a little instruction manual to use Raspberry Pi. The official Raspberry Pi beginner's guide. It's a little thick book, it's a bit of a Bible on the Raspberry Pi from the looks of it. You know, you can learn how to use it, make the most of it. So what do you think? What do I think? I mean, what do you think? Let me know, obviously. But what do I think? It's really cool for beginners, for those casual, they love to do this kind of, they want to tinker with computers, or they are kind of geeky, or for kids or for teenagers, this is a really good kit or sort of a little package you can get if they want, you get them interested in technology and STEM and stuff. Apparently it's that Christmas morning gift. They open the wrapper and like, whoa, computer. But obviously, I would highly recommend this over, say, the Xbox Series X. This is at least they'll learn to program on this and learn to do wonky things on it, and, you know, essentially do some game-changing things and, you know, change the world and be the next great tech genius. A pretty productive and, you know, fun gift. You know, like those science experiment kits you can buy off Amazon, where, like, you can put, like, you put a string of electrical wire into a potato and it will show that the potato generates electricity. It's that kind of novelty. It's really cool. But if you're not that, but aside from that, for a lot of people want to use a Raspberry Pi as a computer, literally as a casual PC sort of. It's right there. You have a display, you have your mouse and keyboard, really. I mean, okay, you don't want that. You want to just get this and have a computer, pretty much. Then this is also a good option for $70. I just saw a third-party kit that's just like this. It's a little nicer built, metal and all, and it's double the price of the Pi 400. So very good value for money. It's a whole kit you can get for $70. It's a good value for money, and you can buy it in the U.S. and U.K. and France. And obviously, they obviously expect resellers in India, Australia, and New Zealand to have it by the end of the year. So if you live there, then you're able to run it and get this. Good as a personal computer to start with. I mean, you could do so much on this. I mean, with the Pi. Like, I mean, as an example, for folks in the UK, mind you, your Raspberry Pi can be a Freeview box. Did you know that? Yes. I was also surprised to hear that. I mean, if you live in the UK, though, that is. I mean, your Raspberry Pi can be a Freeview box. You can buy a little pop-on attachment and you can connect it to the Pi, and it will essentially turn it into sort of a Freeview box, so you can watch Freeview channels off it. So that's pretty dope. You can even make it a Spotify Connect server. You connect your speakers to it. I think there was a channel on YouTube that made a video about this a little recently back. I'll link that video in the show notes. Go watch it. You'll be surprised to see what kind of uses you get with the Raspberry Pi. I'll probably link a bunch of videos from YouTube, obviously, in the show notes. Projects you can use with a Raspberry Pi before. You can get the Raspberry Pi for an SD card and off to the races, and obviously a power attachment. You can get this kit. It's all in one and will do wonders, and it's a good holiday, a pretty productive holiday gift nonetheless. And for the rest of us, it's pretty awesome way to get into the pie, really. I mean, get a slice of the pie, pretty much. And then, well past a gadget showcase, really, a moment, the sort of the lens, famous micro lens company, has released some of the line of accessories with the new iPhone's MagSafe system, sort of. You pop it on, and there's the same MagSafe you use to pop cases on. Pop little mini wallets and pop it to car mounts, and now they've actually released a bunch of accessories where you essentially get mounts, but they're magnetically attached to MagSafe. It could still do Qi charging, obviously, through it because of MagSafe technology. So pretty freaking awesome, and they've shown a lot of uses for it. So the way it kind of works is that obviously Moment has created this wide range of accessories. Essentially, they all have MagSafe on them, and the idea is you pop it to your back of iPhone, like your MagSafe charger. You have to buy separately, obviously. And you basically attach it to your iPhone like you attach cases. And that's pretty much it. And then, given the mount in question, like the tripod mount, you obviously screw it to your tripod and off to the races. And obviously, this will still work through your cases, either Moments or other brands' cases, because MagSafe is built like that. So you could attach, you could still connect, if you have cases on, it'll still magnetically attach. It won't lose its magnetness. It's magnetism, like Qi charging or regular magnets on the iPhone, so it'll still be there. And they have basically made a wide range of mounts for different scenarios. So there's a multi-threaded mount, so you can put this to your to ball bearings, and you can add this right on ball bearings or magic arms or rigs and stuff you already have for devices, so on threads sort of, or the tripod case where you can connect to any tripod with like the standard thread. I forgot, it's been forever since I've used a tripod. I think it's the there's a name for it. I mean, I genuinely forgot. And also a wall mount, I mean, you name it, the possibilities are endless. And a shoe mount, as I earlier said, you can obviously pop it in and then you get a shoe mount, so you can pop mics and stuff. And the fact that they use MagSafe is pretty awesome. This is kind of convenient, frankly. And it's quite straightforward because it uses MagSafe. So no more sticking stuff onto it or adding bulky cases. You just pop it in, off you go, record, pop it off, nice and good. And it still works through cases, which is really cool. It's the first of its kind in the market. So the tripod mount is going to be the most famous option of them all. It costs $40. And then the shoe mount, which is going to be equally popular because you use it for mics and flashlights and stuff. That, I believe... checking the Moment site for this one. Hang on. Is this brand new? This came out today or something. The shoe mount's $30. And then Pro Tripod version, so you can do landscape mode, for example, only, is $50. You can have both landscape and portrait modes enabled for $50 equally. Landscape would be the... this. You can get both the portrait and landscape version because... you will record in both for Instagram stories and then for YouTube videos if you do that. And that's universal mounting, obviously from 1/4 inch to 20 inch mount, so you can put on ball bearings. And you can get Moment's wide range of cases that they've also created for the new iPhone 12. I'll probably have lenses ready for that, but these mounts are awesome. The first of its kind in the market. I hope now, if you really... Moment's products are kind of expensive, so if you really want it, I mean, go for it. It's the best investment you'll make. Moment stuff I've heard is good. It's good quality, and you can vouch for it, definitely. If you want to be cheapy and you just want to get the cheapest option, you'll probably have to wait a few more months before MagSafe accessories reach the market. There's the pandemic, too, obviously. I don't have to remind you that. I don't have to tell you, really. I mean, you know the market overall. The pandemic's kind of happened, so it slowed development of stuff. The iPhone took forever to launch. It would have been out by last month already, but it's now still coming out in October and November. So that's the iPhone, mind you. Then there's these devices, the Moment lens. So mind you, so it's going to take a while. Probably before the beginning of next year, you'll probably see cheap MagSafe accessories and cases. Who knows, they've probably been out by now. You know, Apple's popular in China, and obviously, so the supply chain there acts really quick, especially with Apple stuff. So, but it's good, but if you want to get it, do go for it. $50 is good money. I'd recommend the Pro tripod mount, where you get the shoe mount, and obviously you swivel around the phone. So and you pop it in, it's a good investment, and with a case, much better. So highly recommend that. And now it's to some news, really. You know, why not? So we've talked a lot about Huawei and its misfortunes, really, in the last year or two. So last couple of years, really, because of U.S. sanctions and suspicions on spying and stuff. But really, that kind of means Huawei doesn't really get access to world-class foreign parts, really, American chips, or even chips with foreign patents. So really, after everything, Huawei has now decided to basically build a chip fabrication, a fab of their very own in Shanghai to get around U.S. sanctions. And obviously, the need to use patents and technology from the U.S. And apparently, it will start out by making 45 nanometer chipsets. not the most efficient or the biggest or the smallest. Obviously, those 45 nanometer chipsets will be used in their routers and stuff. The plan is by 2022, they're gonna get all the way down to 20 nanometer processors. So they're able to make their own fabricated chips. They've obviously, until now, they've made the current SoCs, but they've relied on third-party fabrication plants or chip builders like TSMC and Samsung. This report obviously comes from the Financial Times, who kind of claim that apparently a Shanghai-based R&D business backed by the local government is going to run this plant on Huawei's behalf. An idea is that they're going to first start making pretty old, kind of almost about even obsolete 45 nanometer chips, and it'll go all the way down to 28 nanometer chips by the end of 2021, and by 2022 they want to hit 20 nanometers. The idea is that these chipsets, now they're not going to be for phones, obviously. That means that they're probably building it for their routers and IoT gear and their 5G chips. They're making their own chipsets now, their own fabrication. I'm sure they're able to do it with have a lot of research and expertise, surely. Now, this plant won't really make phone chips for their smartphones, because smartphone chips need to be really small. They need to have a smaller die size, really, to be efficient in battery life. The current 9000 in the Huawei Mate 40 is built on 5 nanometers. This plant, which again the FT is claiming to that it'll open, they're gonna start operating next year. We'll start from something like 45 nanometers. It takes time, guys. I mean, it takes a lot of time. But maybe also, who knows, this could change. But it's also Huawei advancing itself. It's already done a lot of R&D by itself. It makes its own parts to an extent. It does a lot of development. It doesn't really copy a lot of players anymore. I mean, people would say Huawei used to copy Apple and made phones, but nah, more like Huawei is developing its own technology. I mean, we're at that stage now where they really are leading in things like AI and fast charging. Just see fast charging as an example. Yes, smartphone brands, I mean, they're competing on price, but they've innovated the battery technology to speed up charge times as batteries get bigger, phones get bigger and fancier and faster, and a little smaller in chipset size. But obviously they figure out fast charging, so they're not going to really be copying forever, and they'll have to truly innovate and develop their own stuff. I mean, they're going to make their own OS soon enough, so that's interesting. And finally, I mean, it's past midnight already by the time I'm recording this, but this came a few days ago, really, and this is an interesting story. It's about Starbucks, the famous coffee shop that is probably the most Instagrammable coffee shop around. And they claim now in their Q3 2020 results that mobile ordering, the idea, basically, Starbucks gives you this option in some countries, or mainly in the US and China, where you can open the app, order a coffee on there, and then get there and pick it up from there. So that's pretty much called mobile order and pay. And they claim now that it makes up 24% of all their transactions. Okay, this is in Q4 2020, fourth quarter of this year, pretty much. And I think this will be the most interesting corporate kind of, shock sort of. I think if we're to really analyze the overall economic trends that have come out of the pandemic, one has been that mobile ordering, digital technology, all that good stuff. I mean, the fact that, okay, people still going to go to Starbucks, that's phenomenal. But that they're doing mobile ordering primarily, so they're ordering on their phones and then paying it there, and then they're going to the coffee shop and picking up right there. And I kind of hear it from like some payment experts that this technique is smart, basically the app, and you have to put money into that and then use the credit from there to pay for your coffee. That they're saving money on credit card transaction fees, apparently, because they only have to pay once. I mean, it's kind of genius, but also Starbucks has been pretty successful at this. The fact that they got 24% of overall orders are from mobile orders is interesting. But primarily, they also are the leading mobile payment option, in terms of users. It's kind of fascinating, seeing these numbers. Amazon experienced a lot of growth this year. It's jumped double. It's made double this year than what it has. It's probably had two or three Black Fridays in 1 year this year. This year has been quite unusual, and that's the thing, really. Obviously, everyone, I mean, I probably know why mobile ordering and paying has become quite popular, and it's growing in big number. And now, probably, if one in five orders are really from are placed from their app, and it's picked up at their shop, sort of. It really is because of the pandemic, and you don't want to, use cash or give your card to the barista, and it would be a bit of a health risk. So you're probably best to order it from your phone and then pick it up only. So that's kind of smart. Honestly, Starbucks is probably from a lot of major food and dining, food and beverage chains, is really has nailed that digital experience. I think, I mean, there's no other restaurant chain or coffee chain I know that has really hooked users to the application and then pushed them to order through that primarily instead of using a third-party delivery service. It's weird because in Bahrain, Starbucks hasn't offered mobile order and pay. That's they've not offered delivery through Talabat, which kind of sucks, frankly. They should offer an app on which you can order the coffee and then you can pick it up and stuff. I'm sure they it is a lot of work to roll it out, but this is also an indicating sign of a change of times. I mean, the pandemic has brought massive changes to the way we shop, eat, live, and watch stuff. It's really accelerated the growth of e-commerce and online ordering, and this is not the last we're gonna hear of. This is not the certainly not gonna be the last of news we're gonna hear. This is gonna double and it's gonna grow. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting world. So that was the podcast. As I said, for all my G's in the UK, stay home, stay safe, please. Do your bit. And for my American folks, please go vote now, okay? If you're listening to this now and it's election day, go vote, okay? And then just go back and listen to it, okay? I mean, you already made it this far, so you probably listened to it. Oh well. That's the podcast. Thanks for listening. Until Wednesday, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at @_my99. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Ciao. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a phenomenal day ahead.